This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What's up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Thursday, August 5th. We are recording this before Team USA takes the court against Australia, so we will not be talking about that game on this podcast. As you guys know, I'm doing Undisputed all week, so the call time is super early every morning, and we had to push up the recording of Straight Fire. I don't think you guys mind. I haven't heard anything negative about it. You guys did like Eddie House a lot. Eddie House keeping it real. He just sounds cool, you know? I like to think I sound cool, but I don't have like that tough guy accent like Eddie House from the Bay Area. At any rate, podcast has been on a roll. By the way, Rob G told me, staggering. One of our biggest podcasts in the last few weeks, no cap, as my son likes to say. And I did squeeze in a no cap on Undisputed this week. And the producers were cracking up. I guess they play games. It's like a gamer term, whatever. The Simone Biles episode we had was a monster. I don't know if it got caught up in the algorithm on iTunes, but the numbers were staggering. So either you guys like my Simone Biles take and you shared it, or something happened maybe on social media, pushed it. But thank you for the resounding numbers. Podcast is rocking and rolling, baby. We are rocking and rolling. And, you know, the dog days of July and August are usually tough, but, you know, the podcast gods keep on giving. Because, you know, I'm playing pickup basketball yesterday. And then I check my phone, you know, after we suffer a loss, which is brutal. And it's Rob G, and he's like, well, we got our topic for the podcast. And I'm like, sweet, but I don't even click on it because you got to make your shot. You know, it's four guys shoot to stay on. Of course, I made mine and stayed because that's how I roll. And I check it later, and it is our guy, everybody's favorite person, LeBron James. Keep talking about my squad. Our personnel ages. The way he plays, he stays injured. We're past our prime in the league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do me one favor, please. And I mean, please. Keep that same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Thank you. And he had the crown after it, King James. Listen, folks, we've never seen anything like this in sports. I mean, we probably would have if Michael Jordan played in the social media era. And don't lie and say, oh, Jordan would have never been on social media. Of course Michael Jordan would have been on social media. It's the easiest way to build your brand. Jordan would have lived on here. Tom Brady thriving on social media. Lionel Messi thriving. I know you guys follow him on the gram. I know you're seeing his vacation pics. I follow Messi. Come on, what's not to love? LeBron is dominant at social media. And I don't want to hear this, oh, it's lame. It's factual. LeBron is stirring the pot, keeping the NBA in the headlines. And folks, we barely touched on this. And I tried to say it on Undisputed, and Broussard was like, oh, the NBA is fine. The NBA is not fine. Did you guys see the finals ratings? They were awful. And don't tell me who cares about the ratings. It doesn't, they matter. They matter to the salary cap. TV deal equals salary cap. That's how it works. And the more LeBron can stir the pot, drop these bombs. I mean, I don't even know how many. Rob can tell us how many retweets it got. But he's just good at this. And, I mean, listen, I am a LeBron fan. I keep it 100 on LeBron. I said he had been passed by Kevin Durant several years ago. You guys hated me for it. You said I was a hater. LeBron was the best player on the planet. I say now, right now, Luka Doncic is the best player in the NBA. I've been consistent on that. I still say he is. Luka Doncic right now. If I'm starting a team right now, I'm going with Luka. If you ask me, Jay, you got a team, one game, who you got? Give me Luka Doncic. And I know the haters are going to say, well, Jay, he's never won a playoff series. Well, you know, that's a very basic response. I mean, when his teammates are Jalen Brunson and Porzingis and Tim Hardaway, and across the court you've got two Supermax guys in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, yeah, who do you think's going to win? The Mavs were not supposed to push that to 7. They did. And last year it was 6 when he was a 21-year-old pup. At any rate, I love what LeBron's doing. And let's be honest, all people are doing is making jokes about how old this team is. I had a couple good ones that I fired on Undisputed this week. I don't know, Rob, if you heard them. My personal favorite, which got a good chuckle from LeVar Arrington, is that the Lakers are going to lead the league in cholesterol. Nothing. Crickets from Rob. Okay, fair enough. I had already seen that one.
Oh, you did see it.
All right, fair enough. I said, you know, I'm not that worried about the workload, and not for LeBron, but for the team doctor. Crickets again from Rob. Rob just not laughing on purpose at my jokes. The other one that I had that was I thought was really funny was it was this team is a bunch of spare parts that nobody wants anymore. It should be sponsored by Craigslist. And LeVar Arrington again laughed at that. Again, you're just not liking. I figured Last Vegas was taken. And Los Angeles and all that, that's been played, and the Geritol jokes and the diapers and all that's funny. LeBron is hearing them clearly. He's watching the shows. He doesn't follow me yet on social. We'll see. Curry does follow me on Twitter, not the gram. Gotta step up my gram game, guys. But the reality is, LeBron, it's a fact, they're old, but at the same time, they got a damn good squad. I mean, they're loaded. We talked about it with Eddie House yesterday. In the span of 48 hours, the Lakers added four guys who shot 40% or better from three last year. And then Kendrick Nunn hit 38%. And then I had Cowherd come up to me yesterday on the lot and say, well, if Kendrick Nunn was so good, the Heat would have kept him. A, they couldn't afford him. And B, it's clear he basically his agent leaked it to everybody. He had offers for more money. He wants to play with the Lakers. He wants to live in L.A. And again, I'm going to hammer this home. The opportunities, if you take a gig in L.A., are media, Hollywood. I mean, some of these guys are, I mean, like, listen, 32 is still pretty young. You're 32, you can be dating 25-year-old Instagram models. Like, I mean, Kendrick Nunn goes from Miami to Los Angeles. Not bad. He's living well.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm just curious. Rob, I know this is going to bore a couple people. I am curious, what do you think the starting lineup is? First of all, why didn't you laugh at my Lakers old man jokes? And then second, what do you think the Lakers starting lineup is on opening night?
Well, I did see the Jungle Cruise movie this week, and that's, you know, they had a lot of dad jokes in there. And I thought that if you were to hit some lines like that, then maybe I would have laughed. But I don't.
Okay, timeout. Let me get a 20-second timeout. Rob, was Jungle Cruise free on Disney Plus, or did you have to like pay the $29.99?
No, we paid the $29.99.
Oh my gosh. Why would you do that?
Dude, I have a little kid.
You paid $30 for your kid to watch a movie?
We go to the movies. You know, I can't take a 2-year-old into the movies.
Not fair.
The people are just going to hate me. I'm going to get kicked out anyways because she's going to be screaming and yelling and pointing at the TV or the screen.
It's a principal thing for me. At any rate, continue.
But you'll
Lakers starting lineup opening.
But you'll gamble away $2,000 on a Team USA quarterfinal first half.
That's a good count.
Yeah, Lakers starting lineup. LeBron, AD, Westbrook, Gasol, Ellington. That's what I think they're going to start.
Interesting. Wayne Ellington gets a start.
Mm-hmm. And it's you'll know this playing basketball a little bit. It's not always about getting your five best players to start off with. Like, you know,
you got
to
keep
you just have to get some kind of balance to your roster. And if the Lakers are going to start Anthony Davis at power forward, which I think they will, even if he plays most of his minutes at center, the only way that makes sense is if whoever's playing center can shoot. And that's one thing that Marc Gasol can do. So that opens up the paint for LeBron and Westbrook.
So looking at the ages of that starting lineup, Gasol 36, LeBron 36, Westbrook 32, Anthony Davis 28. Huh. That is a old lineup. Wayne Ellington checking in at 33. So that is four guys 32 and older. We established, it's out there, that the Lakers have the most players 32 or older on a roster in NBA history. The Knicks, I believe, had led that with like six or five, and now the Lakers have eight. I don't know. I it's probably too disrespectful to say I'd start Nunn over Westbrook. I don't think they can convince Westbrook to lead the second team and still get, you know, 28 minutes a night or whatever. But I could definitely see this Laker group playing LeBron fewer minutes, unless he seems to think, hey, I was the MVP last year, or I was in the discussion, Well, I would love to get one more MVP. Isn't he one MVP behind Jordan?
Yes, and Kareem, I believe, are the two he's trailing.
I think that's a waste of time. I mean, what do you, you know, LeBron has to realize being healthy in the playoffs is all that matters. MVP awards come and go.
Well, he didn't even have the best stats last season when he was in the running for the MVP before he got hurt. I mean, it was just the narrative, and that's going to be a big thing this season too, is LeBron is right when he's saying that the narrative going into this season is going to be, look at this geriatric Lakers squad. Look at 36-year-old LeBron James giving you 23-8-8 or whatever it is he's doing. And that's going to get him votes in that regard, because I fully expect them to be the best team in the Western Conference, record-wise. Hmm. Like, I don't think there's any real competition in the West. You know, Kawhi's hurt. Even if he's clear to come back in 9 months, he's not going to, because we all know Kawhi Leonard is notoriously patient with his medical recovery. Jamal Murray's coming off an ACL, so he might not be back till the end of the season. The Phoenix Suns were a mirage. You know, I think they're a good team.
Oh, let's not go over.
They are a very good team, but they are not a legitimate title team. That's just a fact. Utah Jazz in the regular season are going to push them, because Utah plays great regular season basketball. So that might be the only competition they have. Portland will probably get blown up at some point before the trade deadline.
Well, we're going to talk about Portland here in a moment, because something happened on Wednesday. Yes. Quietly.
Yes.
We need to discuss, but continue.
Luka Doncic is fantastic, but I don't know if him being your only creator is sustainable for an entire season. So unless they're able to get Dragic or somebody, you know, I don't know what they can do.
Sounds like Dragic is coming. The Raptors are going to dump him or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than likely. But until then, we can't assume anything. And so say what you want about the Lakers being old. And I did the research. They would be the oldest team to win a championship with this roster since the 2013 Miami Heat. Their average age was 30.3 years. Okay.
The Lakers' average age is
31.1.
And
no, here's something that you'll appreciate.
Is that including Schroeder or
yes.
No?
Oh, no. Schroeder is not included. But, okay. So they're, what, 0.8 years ahead of the Heat? They are only 0.9 years away from being the oldest team in NBA history. They'd be tied with the 01 Jazz and the 98 Rockets, who both had an average age of 32. And the only reason why the Lakers' age is even as low as it is, relatively, is because of Talen Horton-Tucker and Malik Monk. And Malik Monk, I don't think, is even going to play much this season.
Oh, I disagree.
Who is he playing
Are you
over?
Kidding me? What are you? The Lakers are going to rotate in dudes.
Okay, is he going to get a regular 25 minutes a night? No.
I think what will happen is there will be games where he plays 25 and there will be games where he plays 5. Okay. There will be games where he plays 30. It's just going to be inconsistent. I just want to remind people, and I said this to Broussard on Undisputed, and his head exploded. I was like, there's going to be a game where Malik Monk drops 35 points and people are going to be like, oh my gosh, look at Malik Monk. Like, it's going to happen. And he's like, there's no way Malik Monk stinks. Last year in Charlotte, Malik Monk had a 32-point game against the Heat. In 26 minutes. He had a 29-point game in 28 minutes against the Suns. He had 36 in an overtime game against the Heat. The guy can explode for points. I believe in college he had a 47-point game at Kentucky. He is just an explosive three-point shooter. He's a volume guy, and there's going to be, listen, Wayne Ellington's old. There's going to be games where, hey, they need Malik Monk's energy. And I'm sure LeBron is going to feel like Malik Monk is a little bit, and I don't know if you'll like this comparison, is he a little bit J.R. Smith-ish?
Just in terms of the no conscience, like I'm willing to put it up whenever.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And LeBron likes that. And personally,
especially
like,
during the regular season, he loves it because it gives him time to rest. I mean,
exactly. I don't need to see LeBron for 29 minutes in February, you know, against the Sacramento Kings. Like, just give me Malik Monk jacket. It's fine, you know? Kent Bazemore. I've always liked Kent Bazemore. I think Horton Tucker is a factor. The only minor hole I would see in this roster is I would like to see one more rim protector. I don't consider Marc Gasol a rim protector. Anthony Davis is. Dwight Howard is. But if you're playing Carmelo Anthony, you absolutely have to have a shot blocker behind you because he is does not play any defense. Trevor Ariza is like 39 years old. Not 39, but so, I mean, if you've got like Westbrook and Carmelo on the court, like that is a very negative defensive team. Now, Frank Vogel is a defensive guy. He's done wonders in Indiana and then with the Lakers defensively. I think they were top five, maybe top 10 defensively in efficiency the last couple years under Vogel. And I expect that to continue, but I just don't know if they have enough rim protection. I don't know if they can find another guy, but you would think like a 22-year-old shot-blocking pogo stick is out there somewhere to be had because it doesn't sound like Schroeder's coming back.
Right, right. I agree. And I would like to see them get another wing defender so that they're not relying on Bazemore and Ariza to be the only guys on the roster who can really check wings consistently because I think LeBron won't do that until the playoffs. Quick side note, I'm glad you brought up Chris Broussard, who's a friend of both of ours. I produce his show. You work with him on Undisputed all this week. And I've co-hosted with him a few times, as you know. And so me and him have gone back and forth. Tell me if I'm wrong on this one, Jason. Is Chris Broussard not the most fence-sittingest analyst in all of sports media?
So funny. I played basketball with a couple guys, and they have been watching Undisputed. And they said, and this is no disrespect to Broussard, he just doesn't say anything incendiary. He's obviously plugged in and smart and eloquent and all the good stuff. But he doesn't say stuff that's going to really piss people off. And he loves to sit on the fence. And I called him out. I don't know if you saw this moment. It was like, do the old guys help or hurt LeBron get a title? And he went in like a 4-minute spiel. And at the end, I said, Chris, does it help or hurt LeBron? He said, I just answered that. I said, no, you didn't. Does it help or hurt? I want one word. And LeVar Arrington starts cracking up. I'm like, help or hurt? He's like, no, you're not going to pin me down. And I'm like, this is what Broussard does. I don't care if I'm offending Miami Dolphins fans with my Tua take. I shat on Tua. I said the Dolphins were lucky, and I've got all these Dolphins fans angry at me. I shredded the Pelicans organization. All these media members down there retweeted it, and I got all these media interviews to talk about the Pelicans. I'm like, no, my stuff's out there. Just listen to that. And I don't mind attacking. You're going to be right. You're going to be wrong. I don't care about that. It doesn't matter. There's no scorecard out there. You know, yeah. As much as, what is it, freezing cold takes or
yes.
Freezing cold. That doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of things, all it does is help you boost your eyeballs in front of more people who may not have seen your account. That's all that is. You're going to be right. You're going to be wrong. There's another day. That's like how it works in sports. Now, for gambling, it's a little bit different. But if it's just takes, yeah, I think the Miami Dolphins are going to stink next year. I think the Lakers are going to probably win 55 to 60 games next year. I think it's Lakers-Nets in the finals. Like, these are predictions. They're not gambling takes. So, anyways, continue with your Broussard.
Well, no, you're like the exact opposite of the spectrum. When I talk to him about you and vice versa, where it's like, yeah, Jason will give you an incendiary take where even I'm just like, oh gosh, like we're just trying to get clicks now at this point. I don't know.
If Jason even
believes it, but I'm just telling
See,
you.
No,
I'm being
no,
honest
okay,
with
time
you.
Out,
that's
time
that's
time
my
out,
opinion.
Yeah, okay. Number one, I will always believe what I say. Always, 100%. I've never gone on the podcast or TV and made up something just to be controversial. I don't do that. There's no win there because they can sniff out the authenticity. And if you're faking the funk, they know it. They will. Okay. They will call you out. I've seen other people get called out. Now, you may not like some of my takes. For instance, Rob, do you want to tell the audience about the take you had, I think it was Monday, that you said we could talk about LeBron as a GM?
The GM, yep.
Right. Go ahead.
My take was that was the gift and curse of LeBron the GM, because when he comes to your roster, you immediately lose all your future assets.
And I said, like, who cares? That's right. You win championships.
Right.
And it was like, I mean, I kind of agree with what you said, and I would think everyone would agree with what I said. Like, and I've talked to this about other people, like Chris Bosh, and all these guys are like, LeBron makes stars worse. I'm like,
I would agree with that.
Come again?
I would agree with that.
Make stars worse? Like Kevin Love got worse as a player winning championships? Like, would you rather score 25 and get 12 boards a night in Toronto, as Chris Bosh was doing? Or would you average 15-9 and win multiple championships? I think that's a no-brainer. But that doesn't mean you got worse because your role changed. I think in ways you got better and more valuable. Like, Chris Bosh and Kevin Love were more valuable as a three than they were as ones. So I don't know that they got worse. Like, how do you define worse?
Because they have to take a step back to fit alongside LeBron.
Well, their stats had to take a step back.
There's very few star players who can be the best version of themselves with LeBron James. Because he's so good and he dominates everything around him.
Okay, what is more valuable to Chris Bosh? Being the best version of himself in Toronto, getting bounced in the second round or first round for 10 years and then his career's over, or stats going down a bit and winning two championships? What's the best version of Chris Bosh?
I'm sure he'd rather have the championships.
Is but Chris that's a different Bosh on
question.
TNT
that's a different question.
And ESPN. Okay, so what's the repeat the question.
Just because you won a championship doesn't mean you did so as the best version of yourself.
So you're saying the best version of yourself is the best stats?
No, it's the best player that you can become. Like, but Chris Bosh, just using him as an example, he can do a lot more than spot up from the top of the key and get rebounds. He can do way more than that. But with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade dominating the way that they do, specifically with LeBron, he had to do that. He wasn't allowed to play in the post anymore like he could. He wasn't allowed to facilitate an offense like he could, because that wasn't what that team needed. There's very few players that can be their best version alongside LeBron. Anthony Davis is one of them.
I guess that phrase, their best version, is his best version losing in the second round every year? Is that the best version of him?
I think
that's his best version. Oh, I had an awesome game. I was 31-12. Yeah, we lost. We got bounced in five games. Like, I think a great example is DeMar DeRozan. Like, what is the best version of him? Because he lost in the playoffs with the Raptors all the time. He had shit games with the Raptors in the playoffs against LeBron over and over and over. I personally thought he would go to Miami, take less money, and play for a contender. He wanted all the money. I can't believe he got 3 years and $85 million to go to Chicago. Like, what's the best version of DeMar DeRozan? To me, when you say best, it's winning. Because if you're putting up big stats and losing, how is that the best version of yourself?
Well, the problem with winning, and usually at the highest clip, it involves a ton of sacrifice. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're putting your best foot forward. It's your understanding for the betterment of the team. Even though I am really good at creating offense, LeBron's better. Even though I'm really good at defending wing players, Kawhi Leonard is better. So I have to do X, Y, and Z instead.
But is that making them worse?
It's making the team better. But yes, you're putting your own skills and talents subservient to somebody else. So yeah, it's a worse version of yourself.
It's just tough for me to say worst when you're winning. Like, how are you at the worst version of yourself, but you're winning? And you're like a starter and playing like 35, 40 minutes. Like, that's just tough for me to add up. I understand sacrifice, but when I hear worst, I think John Starks, 2-for-19 in game 7. Like, that's a bad fucking game. Okay, whoops. I don't see how Kevin Love or Chris Bosh got worse. Hell, I mean, you could say, is Chris Bosh on television right now if he doesn't go to the Heat and win championships with LeBron? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think he goes from the Toronto Raptors out in the second round to TV. Kevin Love, here we go. This is great. I think you'll get the answer. What's the defining moment of Kevin Love's career so far?
Him defending Steph Curry in the finals.
Bingo. What is the defining moment of Chris Bosh's career? I think we'll have this one. Agreement.
Well, for me, it's the champagne after they won the championship. That was a good one.
Like a Raptor. Okay. On the court.
On the court.
I think he grabbed the rebound and kicked it to Ray Allen.
Yes, he did get the rebound and kicked it to Ray Allen. Yes.
So those are two guys who were all-stars, right? Putting up big stats and losing. And they go to a winner and they sacrifice their game, make a huge play, and win a championship. So it's just tough for me to say that, like, the worst and best. And I know we're splitting hairs. I don't know if people care about this discussion, but to me, it's moderately interesting.
Yeah, we got way sidetracked.
Anyway, let me hear what Broussard had to say. He thinks I'm coming in way too hot, right?
I mean, whatever I say to you, I say to him and vice versa. Like, there's nothing too controversial. But one thing that Chris has said, he said it all week, he said it on Fox Sports Radio, said it on FS1, is the Lakers have a puncher's chance of winning the championship. I think that they are the best team in the Western Conference. But he's also made a point to say they're very old and combustible. So it's like, so that you're not wrong in either direction. Like, if they win, you were right because you said that they're going to make the Western Conference Finals. If they don't do well, well, I told you they were old.
I don't know. Broussard and I, we are buddies, and we talk frequently. We had a good phone conversation this week about some industry stuff. Broussard's a good guy. I've known him for a while.
Yeah, and anyone and listening, it's not like we're ripping Chris. We're not ripping Jason because we're all friends. So it's not like you can say anything that we don't already tell each other. So relax.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let me quickly wrap up by this with this this Damian Lillard thing. So quietly, well, maybe it's not so quietly, Damian Lillard's trainer just got a job. Do you want to guess, Rob, what team he got a job with?
I would assume if they want to keep him, the Portland Trail Blazers gave him a job.
Ding, ding, ding. He just got hired in Philadelphia. Now, that to me is fascinating. I don't know, like, I don't really know this guy well. I've been digging around. He used to coach, his name is Phil Becker. He used to coach at Weber State, and he is Damian Lillard's longtime trainer. How does he end up in Philadelphia? I don't know. He's a consultant to the coaching staff. He's been, he's going to be at Summer League with them, and this smells like the first step. Does it not? Remember, the San Antonio Spurs, when they added Kawhi Leonard, via the draft, they brought on like his high school teammate as an assistant. And I think that guy got a job with the Raptors. I'm spacing on his name now, but basically some of these guys, they want their guy in there. Rob, are the Sixers going to trade Ben Simmons for Dame?
I mean, I think they would like to. I'm sure Portland wouldn't do it, but
I don't think Portland's going to have a choice. This is maybe where Henry Abbott was going, that Dame is going to have to demand out. He's going to have to, because Portland's going to say, well, we'll give you CJ McCollum. And Philly's like, nah, we want Dame. We could have got James Harden for Ben Simmons, supposedly, before last season. Give us Dame. We'll give you picks. We'll give you Simmons. We'll give you Maxey. Give us Dame. And now, holy hell, the East is stacked, because you could just rub Portland out of the playoffs in the West. And all of a sudden, I think Dame and Embiid, does that put the Sixers second in the East?
Yeah, absolutely.
Above Miami, above Milwaukee?
Yes. Yeah, because they would still have Tobias Harris. They would still probably have Seth Curry. And when you have the two best players, or two of the three best players,
Dame and Seth Curry
in any series, other than Brooklyn, I mean, like, if it's, you can usually say who has the best players, those teams are going to win. And if you go to Milwaukee, you could say, hey, maybe Giannis is the best. But then number two and three easily are Dame and Embiid. So you go with that team.
Yeah. Man, that'll be fascinating. Now, Drew Holiday is a really good defender, as we've seen. I don't know if he could lock up Dame, but he could certainly contain him. Remember, Trae Young gave him 48 in game one. So.
Yeah, and nobody locks up anybody in a high pick and roll league.
Right, right, right. Embiid, Giannis is fun. And then does it come down to Tobias Harris versus Chris Middleton? I don't know. I mean, a bottom line, listen, Miami, do not rule out Miami, man. They defensively, they will be ready with Lowry, Butler, and Bam. So if Dame goes to the East, man, that is spicy.
And I love tampering season, don't you? I mean, the Knicks, I think, hired Royale Ivy to be a special assistant when they thought they can get Kevin Durant.
KD's guy.
I mean, the Lakers gave Kentavious Caldwell-Pope $18 million off from Detroit. And then they introduced him at the press conference. They said it was like bread raining down from the heavens because they knew that was their end to talk to LeBron James. And then they tripled.
Didn't they get one of the Antetokounmpo
brothers? Yeah, that's
brothers?
The best one. They tripled down on it a few years later. They signed Giannis's little brother, who is not good at basketball. He's a nice guy, but he's terrible. They had him on the roster for 2 years just in the hopes that Giannis became a free agent.
Slick. Gotta love it. Big fan. All right, so that'll wrap it up for today. Listen, the NBA free agency's been crazy. No major huge moves, but enough fun surrounding the Lakers that it's been spicy. Man, Dame would be interesting. We actually have football tonight. You guys excited? I did not bet on Cowboys Steelers. Come on. I don't know who's going to play.
That didn't stop you before from betting on things.
Nah, I don't need to fire on preseason game number one. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.